Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. When Cassandra Dalzell was working in her backyard, her 9-year-old daughter found a baby snake. And she told her mom about this, and Cassandra told her, well, why don't you catch it and put it in a jar? So Cassandra grabbed the snake. And after she grabbed the snake, and before she could even start going very far towards the house, she saw a bullfrog. So she told her mom about the bullfrog, and Cassandra told her daughter, why don't you catch the bullfrog? So with the snake in one hand, she snatches the bullfrog. So she's got the snake in one hand and the bullfrog in the other. She then starts heading to the house to find two jars to put the snake and the bullfrog in. And as she's almost to the house, suddenly she screams and drops both the snake and the bullfrog and runs away from the house. And her mom says, what's wrong? And the girl said, well, did you see what happened? The moth almost got me. Isn't it amazing what we are afraid of? We all fear something, don't we? Some people are afraid of snakes and bullfrogs. Other people, like Cassandra's daughter, think nothing about picking up a snake or a bullfrog, but then when a moth comes, they're terrified. Some people are afraid of heights, the dark, speaking in public. Others are afraid of failing and looking stupid. And many, many people today, both within the church and outside the church, many people are afraid of the future. What are you afraid of? What worries you? What keeps you up at night? What are you afraid of? Fear and its younger brother worry can weigh us down, amen? And they can hinder us from running our race as we ought. There are so many examples in the Bible. Let's just consider a few. And we could pick many, many more. But in Exodus 2, Moses fled from Egypt in fear of his life. With good reason. Because he had just killed an Egyptian. Do you ever worry about what might happen to you? In Exodus 4, after God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and commissioned him to set his people free, Moses balked because he said, I'm not eloquent. And he was afraid that he wasn't up to the task. But are you ever afraid you're not up to the task that is set before you? In Exodus 14, after God delivered the people from Egypt and they found themselves trapped between the Red Sea and the army of Egypt, they feared there was no way forward. Do you ever find yourself fearing there's no way forward? Going a little bit further in the scriptures, and in 1 Samuel 13, King Saul offered sacrifices to the Lord, which he was not permitted to do. But he did this because his soldiers were starting to flee, and he was afraid that all of his soldiers would desert him, unless there was some type of rallying point. Have you ever worried about other people's approval? One more. In Matthew 25, the unfaithful servant in Jesus' parable about the talents did not invest his one talent because he feared failure. So he did nothing. Do you ever fear failure? I could go on, but you get the picture. Fear caused Moses to flee from his home and then to balk at doing what God told him to do. It caused the people of Israel to grumble and complain and whine until literally they tried God's patience. It caused King Saul to act presumptuously and made him force a situation that should not have been forced. It caused the unfaithful servant to play it safe when the situation did not call for playing it safe. Do you see how fear can weigh us down? Fear and worry? And hinder us from doing what God has set before us. When I was in high school, I tried to be the type of person God wanted me to be. Looking back, however, I realized how much of my behavior at that time was influenced by fear. Fear of what other people would think. Fear that if I did this or did that, they would think this. And if I didn't do this or that, they would think this. And I didn't want to stick out. So I walked and I talked like a duck so that all the other ducks would think I was one of them. And though I loved the Lord and was trying hard to follow him, there was one thing I only did once in the whole 4 years I was in high school. And that was to bring up the subject of Christ. Only once. Why? I was afraid I'd be crucified if I did. Fear can weigh us down and hinder us from doing the things that God wants us to do. So be honest with yourself for a moment. Where does fear or worry weigh you down this morning? What are you afraid of and it's really pressing down on you? Or what are you worried about that's really pressing down upon you? And possibly even hindering you from running your race? What are you afraid of? What do you worry about? Now, obviously, there's a place for fear. Fear can be very healthy. If you're out for a walk and you see a mother bear reared up and she's snarling at you and you see her baby cubs there, fear is a good thing. Fear tells you you're too close to her baby cubs and maybe you ought to very carefully and very slowly back away. Fear is a good thing. If you see a tornado coming, fear tells you to hunker down, be safe, get out of harm's way. Fear can be a good thing. Kudos to fear. And though the Bible tells us many times not to fear, someone has said there's over 300 commands not to fear in the Bible, there's also many commands in the Bible to fear. To fear. We are often told to fear. And what are we told to fear? Two things. We are told to fear God and to fear missing out on our salvation. Time and again in the Bible, we are told to fear God and to fear missing out on our salvation. So when fallen man fears God and fears missing out on his salvation, kudos to fallen man. That's a good thing. Let's look at a number of verses, and you won't be able to keep up with me. I'm sorry. I have them listed, but I'm going to go through them quickly. But just a number of verses where in the Bible, it gives us this idea that we are to fear God and fear missing out on our salvation. So Psalm 2:1 first, serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling, even in our worship. There ought to be an element of, we are in the presence of someone infinitely greater than we can even imagine. And there ought to be a little bit of fear, a little bit of trembling as we come into his presence. Ecclesiastes 5:7, for when dreams increase and words grow many, there is a vanity. You know, people talk about all the plans they have and on, and sometimes it's just empty words of vanity. Instead, what ought we to do? But God is the one you must fear. Plan your plans, talk your talk, dream your dreams, but remember, fear God. And then Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is one of several places in the Bible where I think it just sums up the entire Bible, our entire duty. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Want to know what's expected of us? Solomon says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. It all boils down to that. Jeremiah 5:22. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? The living says, how can it be that you do not fear me? How can it be that you do not tremble in my presence? And why is that? Because of who he is. The rest of the verse says, I place the sand as the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over. I'm the one who created all this, and I set the boundaries, and they all obey me. And since I am who I am, how can it be that you do not fear me and tremble in my presence? Jeremiah 10:7, who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. This is what you deserve. For this is your due, for among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Two more, Matthew 10:28. Jesus himself said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear the one who holds your eternal destiny in his hand. And then Hebrews 4:1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Sometimes we stand so close to salvation and just don't take that final step. And the author of Hebrews says, fear. Fear. Make sure that you have taken that final step. And of course, the point is this, God is God. God is God. I think sometimes we almost treat God like a nice housebroken pet. What a comfort our pets are, amen? And most of the time, not always, but most of the time they do what we want them to do, right? Pets are wonderful, but God's not a pet. And he's not housebroken. He's wild and raging. He often does what we hope he will do, but he often does not, because his ways are not our ways, and his wisdom is not our wisdom, and his plans are not our plans. And so God is wild. He's awesome. He's astounding. And in his glory, yes, he's even terrifying. If he were to appear in even a portion of his glory right here, right now, we would all fall on our faces to the ground. That's who God is. And he holds our destiny in his hand, all of mankind. He holds all of mankind in his hand. And what if he just got a cramp in his hand? So much for mankind. We ought to fear God in that sense. Fallen man tends to fear and worry about all the wrong things. Fallen man ought to worry and fear about God, not all the things fallen man worries about. Origen was an early church father. He lived from 185 to 253 AD. He lived in one of the times when persecution was sweeping the Roman Empire. His father was arrested for being a Christian when Origen was only 17. And like more than a few teens, few youths, Origen was a bit idealistic, and he thought how glorious it would be to be martyred with his father, to be martyred for his faith. So he told his mother that he was going to go turn himself in as a Christian so that he too might be martyred. Well, his mother didn't want this. So his quick-thinking mother, when he was asleep, hid all his clothes and would not tell him where his clothes were. And Origen, who was not afraid to suffer and die, was afraid to march through the streets naked. And so he never turned himself in. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we fear the strangest things, and we don't fear the things that we ought to fear. Many American Christians tend to worry about what will become of us in the near future. Things are really getting wacky out there. I read an article just the other day in Canada, our northern neighbor, and they're further along in some of this craziness than we are. But there's a law that's just in the very beginning. It probably won't get passed, and it's not anywhere near being passed. But the idea of the law is that if you say something hateful and it offends me, there's a certain court they want to establish where I can go to that court and sue you for what you said, and I would get $20,000 and the court would get $50,000. Now here's where it gets really wacky. I could sue you for anything you ever said or anything you might say. How does that work? Isn't that wacky? This is the day and age we live in. And so we look at our culture and we think, what is going to happen to us? What is going to happen to our kids? And we are afraid and we worry. With good reason. Do we worry and fear about what is going to happen to those who are promoting some of this nonsense? We might suffer temporarily in this life. Some of them might suffer for all eternity. Interesting, isn't it? Do we worry and fear about the right things? Not always, not always. So with that said, there's some good type of fear, and we often fear the wrong things and not the right things. With that said, when we are weighed down by the fear that we shouldn't be weighed down by, what can we do to free ourselves from that burden? And I'm going to give you four things that we can do, but there's so many other things we could do as well. This is not comprehensive. But when we are weighed down by fear and worry, the type of fear and worry that we shouldn't be carrying, what should we do? First thing we should do is to fear the right things and not the wrong things, to remind ourselves of what we should fear above everything else. And again, we should fear God, not the world. As we already read, Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He's the one you should fear. When I was in high school, as I said, I often worried about what other people would think if I did this or that or didn't do this or that. And I'll confess, I did many things that I'm not real proud of because of peer pressure, wanting to fit in. But there are certain things that I simply would not do. Some things were just too far, and I would not cross that line, partly because I was a Christian and I knew it was wrong. But if I were honest, sometimes the only thing that kept me from crossing that line was what? What Dad and Mom would do when they found out. The fear of Dad and Mom. Sometimes the fear of Dad and Mom, the fear of the Lord, is a good thing. And it keeps us from doing some things that we ought not to do. I wish our society feared God a little bit more than they did. So again, the first thing we ought to do is remind ourselves what we ought to fear, and that's God. And two, we should remind ourselves how tenderly God loves us. If only we understood how tenderly God loves us, I don't think we would worry about most of the things we worry about. Matthew 6:26, you know this verse. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If God takes care of those birds, faithfully takes care of them and provides for them, if he takes care of them, isn't he going to take care of his children? If he watches over them, isn't he going to watch over us? If he provides for them, isn't he going to provide for us? Many of the things we worry about, we don't need to worry about them. I know there's exceptions to this, but when you were 3, 4, 5, certainly when I was 3, 4, and 5, did you ever worry about whether you'd have enough to eat? I never did. Mom and Dad would take care of that, obviously. If we trusted our earthly parents to provide for us when we were 3, 4, and 5, why do we sometimes doubt our Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us way more than any earthly parent ever could? No matter what you are going through today, and I know some of you are going through some difficult stuff, but no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're afraid of, no matter what you're worried about, burn this into your mind. God loves you way too much to leave you hanging. He's not going to do that. Ever. Ever. Three, we should remind ourselves that not only does God love us, we should also remind ourselves he's in control and he knows what he's doing. Romans 8:28-29, and these two verses I think always should be read together. Romans 8:28-29, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God does not cause all things to happen, but according to verse 28, he uses all things for good in the lives of his children. And what is that good? Verse 29, that good is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that we would be made a little bit more like Jesus. So no matter what happens to us, God is using it for our good to make us more like Jesus. Isn't that reassuring? Life sometimes seems arbitrary, and by the world's standards, it is, often. It's not fair. But above, beyond, around all that, around, above, beyond everything that happens, there stands God, using it all for our good, so that we might be a little bit more like Jesus. He's turning us into people that, into children that he's proud of. What can be better than that? And four, we should focus on being about God's business. We've talked about this every week in Lent. I'm probably sounding like a broken record. But once we turn to Christ, he more or less makes a deal with us. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here's the deal God makes. He says, you take care of my business. You seek my righteousness, my will. You take care of my business, and I'll take care of everything else. You take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. You seek righteousness and the kingdom of God, I'll take care of all these other things. And of course, God always does a much better job taking care of all these things than you and I ever could. But it takes faith to believe that, because it feels like we have to constantly take care of our own affairs. And we do need to think about them. We do need to make choices. Don't get me wrong. But we don't need to obsess about it. That's God's business. My business is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. My job is to do the job that's set before me. His job is to take care of me, watch over me, protect me, so on and so forth. And we can do this because God is good, and he loves us, and he knows what he's doing. So once again, fear and worry, they can weigh us down. They can hinder us from running the race God has set before us, but they don't have to. When the children of Israel stood outside the promised land, they saw, after the spies came back, they heard all the stories about the walled cities, which were very well fortified, big cities, well fortified. They heard about the warlike people in the promised land, and some of them were the giants, literally giants, and they were afraid. This is what Moses said to them, Deuteronomy 31:6. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Quite possibly, likely, some of you gathered here today are worried, weighed down with worry. You're afraid. You're weighed down with fear. You are in a tough place facing what seems like a giant to you. Just for the moment, quiet your heart and hear the Lord speak to you from Deuteronomy 31:6. Hear the Lord speak to you. Be strong and courageous, my child. Do not fear or be in dread. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you hanging. Breathe. Trust me. Lord, it is so incredibly easy for us to be afraid and or worry. We do it all the time, all the time, all the time. There is so much to life that is bigger than us, so much to life that's out of control, so much in life that's frightening. But you are bigger than all that. You are bigger than life. You are bigger than our problems. You are bigger than our fears. And you are good, so good to your children. How tenderly, how intimately you love us. Lord, if we are worried, if we are weighed down by worry, if we are weighed down by fear this morning, we give that to you right here, right now. It's yours. We want to focus on doing your will. We want to focus on the job you have set before us. You take care of all the details, Lord. Yes, we know. We will have to think and make plans and so on and so forth. But Lord, we don't have to stew in our juices. You have set us free. We want to be free. And right now, right here, we choose to be free by your grace, by your mercy. You are good, Lord. Incredibly good to us. We trust you. In your name, amen.